This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
So, you're a parent. You find an engorged tick on your child, so what do you do? Well, first, you carefully pull the creepy thing off. Pull it straight out. Don't twist it. But then what? If you live in Massachusetts or elsewhere in New England, in this season, you worry about Lyme disease. So you call your doctor, who advises watch for a fever, nausea, maybe a bullseye-like rash. If those symptoms develop, it's probably Lyme disease, in which case your doctor can prescribe antibiotics. But why not prescribe those antibiotics before, as a preventative measure? That's among the questions Carrie Goldberg wrestled with when her six-year-old son Tully was bitten by a tick recently. And hi, Carrie. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
And Carrie Goldberg, of course, is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. And this week she wrote about Lyme disease and about her son's encounter with a tick. And Carrie, Tully's case is every parent's nightmare because this is no joke. I mean, Lyme disease can really do bad things.
Yes, Lyme disease is really frightening, and it's incredibly endemic around here in Massachusetts. There are thousands of reported cases every year, and many more that certainly go unreported. And in fact, after I wrote this post about this encounter with a deer tick, one of the commenters who wrote into Common Health wrote this comment: "This is one of the most frightening diseases. Living in Topsfield, about one in four of my neighbors and friends have untreated Lyme disease. Most contracted it without knowing they were bitten by a tick. I think physicians need to be more cautious and less conservative in prescribing antibiotics. The long-term effects of this disease are horrific." That is, if it goes untreated, of course. "I have a second cousin who's under 30 and can no longer work due to chronic pain, and a friend of my sister-in-law committed suicide over the pain and neurological impairment," and the list goes on. Mm. Now, I don't want to hype this up too much. I mean, most...
But it's serious enough. So tell us about Tully. What happened in his case?
So what happened with Tully was pretty much just what you described. We went for a sort of unplanned walk in the woods, and a couple of days later, we found a tick on him that was engorged on his tummy. And I called the doctor. They said, well, let's wait and see if he develops any symptoms. So then a few days later, he did in fact develop this sort of odd summer fever. He had headaches, he had low-grade fever, he had nausea, and it lasted a week, and it was just weird. Like, it was kind of off and on. It wasn't his typical virus. So I called the doctor back again, and they said, let's take a look at him. And they looked at the tick area, and it did not look like a classic bullseye rash. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, let's wait and see some more. And that...
So let's wait. So here's my question. Why not just prescribe the antibiotics, even if there's a possibility?
Well, in fact, if this had been an adult, and they had a few criteria filled, like they knew that it was a deer tick, and they knew that it had been in an area where we have Lyme disease, which we do, and it had been on him longer than 24 or 48 hours, then they might very well have just prescribed a single dose of antibiotics, which has been shown to be effective in sort of preventing Lyme disease from developing. But for children under 8, it's not as simple. You can't do, there haven't been good studies showing that that single dose is okay. And antibiotics are not totally benign. You know, you don't want to throw them around all over the place. So this I understand, but what happened was that I entered into this feeling, this period of feeling very uneasy, like something was really wrong, like something was wrong with my child, and I wasn't able to get treatment for it. And so that's what prompted me to sort of ask these questions about, well, where's the line about, if you're concerned that it might be Lyme disease, if it could very well be Lyme disease, when are the antibiotics in fact appropriate?
Sure. So there's Tully. He still doesn't have the rash. Then what happened?
So then, fortunately, he did develop the bullseye rash. And in fact, the
moment... You say fortunately because now you know what to do.
Right, because now I can finally get him the treatment. And in fact, I sent a picture of the bullseye rash to the doctor, and he immediately said, oh, yes, that's Lyme disease, and he phoned in the prescription for the antibiotics. But what I came away with was also the feeling that if your parental radar is going off, you might, in fact, want to get a second opinion on something like this. And in fact, I did ultimately get a second opinion from Dr. Jonathan Edlow at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
Well, let's bring Jonathan Edlow into this conversation. He's been standing by. As you said, he's at Beth Israel Deaconess. He's vice chairman of emergency medicine. He's also the author of Bullseye, Unraveling the Medical Mystery of Lyme Disease. And Jonathan Edlow, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. So you've been listening to Carrie's case about her son, Tully. Would you have responded differently, or what's the takeaway here?
Well, I would have responded differently at several of the different decision points. I think it's fairly clear that if someone has been bitten by an engorged deer tick, it's reasonable to give them prophylactic or preventative antibiotics. And I say reasonable, and my tone of voice is a little bit hesitant for the following reasons. Number one, there have been a lot of studies done probably 20 years ago now looking at 10 days of preventative antibiotics, and it shows that that works well to prevent Lyme disease. The study that's been done with single-dose treatment has been done only with adults, and therefore doctors tend to be cautious. They don't like to do things in the absence of proven evidence. So there's not evidence that a single-dose treatment works for children. Now, having said that, I will also say that if you take 100 people bitten by a deer tick, even in an endemic area such as Massachusetts, only about 3% of them will develop Lyme disease. So the vast majority of people don't, either because the tick was never infected or because their immune systems took care of it.
I see.
Now, in my practice, if someone, including a child, gets bitten by a deer tick in an endemic area such as Massachusetts in the right season, I give them 3 days of antibiotics. And that's sort of a practical solution to the fact that we know that one dose works in adults. We know that 10 days works in adults and children.
Dr. Edlow Stim, I want to go back to Carrie. Carrie, in terms of the sort of guidelines, you wrote about the Centers for Disease Control guidelines. How do those stack up against the way Tully was treated?
Well, in fact, Tully was treated according to the guidelines. And I spoke with Dr. Catherine Brown, who's our state public health veterinarian, and she said that, in fact, the story with Tully is basically a happy story, that, in fact, our pediatricians did follow the classical guidelines. And so, you know, all's well that ends well. But what I couldn't help wondering was, well, but, you know, Lyme is a very tricky disease. People don't always have all the symptoms, or they don't know all the symptoms, or the rash might not look exactly like a bullseye, or you may not even see the rash. And so, once again, it left me wondering, well, given how scary Lyme is, might we not want to lean more towards what Dr. Edlow does? Now, I should say that there was also some pushback on our Common Health Post to Dr. Edlow's recommendations. There was one pediatrician who wrote in and said that he thought that our pediatricians did a great job and that he would side with this approach rather than with Dr. Edlow, because you should basically just follow the evidence-based guidelines as opposed to improvising. And in fact, most Lyme disease does follow the usual pattern. I think my sense is that it's a big can of worms. You know, Lyme disease has a lot of debate surrounding a lot of it, and many people who are very strongly on one side or another.
Sure. And Dr. Edlow, let me come back to you and just ask about those symptoms. I'm intrigued by this idea that it doesn't always present with that trademark bullseye rash, correct?
Correct. Once someone develops a fever in the summertime after a tick bite, and it's not clearly a strep throat or urinary tract infection or something like that, Lyme disease can present that way with an isolated fever without the rash. In addition to that, there are other tick-borne diseases to think about. And in addition to that, the rash is not always the classic target or bullseye appearance. The most common is just a redness that's flat and pretty much homogenous and does not have a target appearance.
So, Dr. Edlow, bottom line, you heard Carrie mention the pushback to your thinking on this. Do you think the CDC guidelines need to be rethought?
Well, I think that guidelines are guidelines, and guidelines are made for a general approach to the average patient in an average situation. But the reality in medicine is that, you know, most of the time each case is individual. So a physician needs to think about, in this particular patient, given this particular scenario, what makes sense for the best thing, even in the absence of evidence being available.
And Anthony, I would say my bottom line, I feel like what I learned most, my takeaway from this whole experience was something that Dr. Catherine Brown said, which was, if you've been outside at all in the warm weather in Massachusetts, you know, even in your yard, actually your suburban yard, and you develop an odd summer fever and there's no other obvious cause, you might want to check with your medical provider.
Right. And Carrie, finally, how's Tully doing?
Tully's doing fine. He's almost done with his 3 weeks of antibiotics, and he's waiting for a big prize at the end.
That's Carrie Goldberg. She's co-author of WBUR's Common Health blog, and you can find a link to her latest posting about Lyme disease on our website, radioboston.org. Thanks so much for coming in, Carrie.
My pleasure.
And Jonathan Edlow, Vice Chair of Emergency Medicine at Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And by the way, if you've got thoughts on this story you heard with Kerry Goldberg or that story about the MFA or violence in Boston, if you've got anything to say, you can always post a comment on our website, radioboston.org.
You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook. We're at Radio Boston.
Or you can send us a personal message. Our address is radioboston@wbur.org.
And of course, low tech but personal is always accepted. You can leave a message on our listener line, 617-353-1137. That's 617-353-1137.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangleatboston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.